Okay, here we go. So, Sunday, we're starting a new Parsha, Parshat Bo. In a little bit into the Parsha, and the introduction to Makah Bechorot is a very interesting one. And God repeats his prediction of bringing the firstborn plague, which he actually told Moshe he was going to do way back in Shemot, in Perek Gimel, when he's telling Moshe about what his plans are. He actually tells him that he's going to do this big plague, right? He is planning on striking down the firstborn of Egypt, and it's a very interesting discussion about what God was doing with 10 plagues, what exactly were his goals, besides for getting the Jewish people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. It's apparent that that was not the goal of the plagues. And one interesting aspect of this is that God says in that prediction of what he's planning on doing that two things. First of all, he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart. So that already tells you that he's not planning. If it was just like get the Israelites out of Egypt, then that would be counterproductive to harden Pharaoh's heart. Because, you know, Pharaoh, after the first plague, might have said, apparently, if you just read it as Jot, might have said, you know, oh, take your people and get out of here. Maybe after two, maybe after the magicians couldn't do anything, maybe finally he would have said it after three or four. That is the point in which maybe Pharaoh would have let the people go, but that's obviously not the point of not the main point of the plagues. Okay, so one part of this is that God wants, as he told Abraham back in the Brit Bein HaBasarim, that he was going to, the people of his tribe, his nation, his seed, is going to leave this place with many riches. And a big part of that is by terrorizing the Egyptians, but also apparently God giving them a sense of favoritism towards the Israelites. Which is weird, right? Because you would think that wouldn't be necessary once they're terrorized and once they're so afraid and know the power of the God of the Hebrews, you'd think that they wouldn't need the chen. They wouldn't need the grace that God grants them in order to be willing to give gifts and things. And there's a different discussion to be had about why it's phrased as borrowing, that they're supposed to borrow from others. That's a different discussion. I don't even know if Shadal is even concerned about that. I was looking around for it. I don't know if it, not in these psukim at least. But anyway, we're in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, and it says like this. After, he says you should, you know, everybody should ask their neighbor, the men, I guess, apparently separately from the women, and ask for silver and gold. Okay? And then in Gimel it says, Vayitin Hashem et chen ha'am be'inei Mitzrayim. God gave the grace of the nation into the eyes of the Egyptians. Gam ha'ish Moshe gadol ma'od be'eretz Yisrael. Even Moshe was considered great in Egypt. Be'nei avdei Paro, be'nei ha'am, and before everybody, the servants of Paro and the eyes of the nation. So the question is, first of all, what's the point of this granting, like somewhat like changing the mood of the Egyptians? Presumably they would not have felt this before, and God made this happen. So I saw that the Ramban is one of the only ones besides for Shadal who's concerned about this kind of question. And Ramban says that normally the Egyptians should hate the Israelites. They're the cause of their pain. And so God just made sure that they didn't hate them. Flip the switch a little bit so that it wasn't a hate relationship. It was an awe or reverence relationship, perhaps. So Shadal has a different solution. Shadal goes like this. And it's a startling psychological insight, I think, is very cool. So pay attention. Okay, so he says like this. Acher shesiper tzivoy hazeh, after God commanded this thing to ask everybody for their gold, higi gam kein ki Hashem azar et amo bedvar hazeh. He's also informing the Jewish people that God is actually helping them in this matter. It's not just as, you know, they're on their own and they should just ask Egyptians who probably don't like them and never like them to ask them for stuff. Don't worry, God is helping you out. Like it says earlier, you remember when God predicted it in Gimel Chaf Aleph, "V'natati et chena am hazeh b'nei Mitzrayim," and I'm going to put the grace of this nation into the eyes of the Egyptians. Ki kirot haMitzrayim et haMakot haGedolot vaNiflaot haBaot aleihem b'dvar Moshe al Odot Yisrael. So what was it that caused this grace? So Shaddai actually doesn't think that it's a direct cause by God, like a miraculous thing. God doesn't work that way. We saw actually in last week's parsha that even in the plagues, it's Shaddai's opinion that God worked through nature. So he says that what happened here is that God, so to speak, gave grace in the eyes of the Egyptians by doing so many plagues to them, paradoxically, and the Israelites are now lifted up, right, in stature. That paradoxically had an effect on the Egyptians, that they now saw them as human beings, more than just like cattle or slaves, right? Hitchilu l'rachem aleihem, because of the plagues, the great plagues that God did, hitchilu l'rachem aleihem, they started to have great mercy on them. U'le'azkir ki gam hem b'nei adam kemotam. The Egyptians remembered that these were human beings. They started to recognize the stature of the Jewish people, that they had a God, Moshe of Arav, who's saving them and is very powerful. And they started to recognize and understand the violence that they had enacted, that they had done, that they had done to the Jewish people. And that the Jews are like them. They didn't recognize that before. They saw them as lower than them. They saw them in some kind of class system, as slaves, as animals to them, right? This is a classic move in anti-Semitism. It's very easy to, if you're an anti-Semite, the best way of getting everybody on your side is to see the Jews as rats, or something like that. Dehumanize the enemy, and you can do whatever you want with them. Even among regular people, right? So now, with all these amazing miracles happening to the Jewish people, and they're starting to be lifted up and up, the Egyptians are realizing, oh my gosh, these are human beings. Because you should realize that this is the way of people, says Shaddai. Hashurim batzlacha, if they are so successful, when they look at wretched poor people, Inam b'nei adam kamam. They don't see them as regular human beings. You look at the homeless person, it's very easy to cast them aside as having no value, right? V'she'in rabba hosifam mechov amechovam. And you might even go so far as to add more pain because you don't see them as human beings with a value that, what's the difference if I hurt them, if I torture them, if I make it worse for them? Aval kishi etchilu ha'umlalim la'alot ma'at, but when the wretched start to rise a little bit, mitulat shiflutam, from the straits of their lowliness, az yatchilu ha'matzichim la'achshivam l'rachim aleihem lo'avotam, then those who are on top start to see them as having more value. Okay? Meaning, let's say that outside for a second. The Egyptians never saw the Israelites as having much, as being human beings like them. Why? Because they were always slaves to them for 400 years or however long it was. Until the great miracles that were being wrought for them and the success of the Jewish people now as they are going out of the land of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, the Egyptians were now starting to see their value. And that's the chain that God had granted that nation. Oh, I see they have rights, right? They never saw that before. And he says, very interestingly, that that's what happens with Yosef. What happens with Yosef when he's a slave in the house of Potiphar? It's only when he becomes the head of the house, as the head servant of the house, that the wife of Potiphar even started looking at him. It's that's exactly what Shaddai says in Genesis 39:7, and he references it here. He says that's exactly the point, right? She only noticed him and only realized, this is somebody who I could who's on my level, who's a human being like me, and she started to see him as a sexual object precisely because he rose in the stature. Now, I would think of it as the opposite. I would say, you know, she saw a person that she could take advantage of, and that she has the rights to, you know, whatever she wants to do with him. I would think of it going that way. But that's not what Shadell says. He thinks it's exactly the point. The psychological insight is very interesting. I thought when I first read this that Shadell was actually making a more profound point, which is that it's very difficult for us, if we are in a position of success, to see those who are not in a position of success and understand what it's like to be in their shoes and try and figure out how to help them. You have to be in someone's shoes and have been wretched like them, like the Egyptians are now being in this very poor position, that they don't know what it's like. They didn't know what it was like to be oppressed, and now they are very much oppressed by nature and by God, or the gods of whatever they were thinking. They were very much being oppressed, and now they knew what it felt to be in pain and to be in a position of want. And perhaps it's actually at that point that they could realize, oh, now we know what we did wrong. Now we realize something. So that's not something that's often picked up. Usually we talk about what God's doing with the plagues is a theological lesson. But there's also a moral lesson here of you want to feel real pain. You want to know what it's like to not know if you're going to be able to drink water. You want to know what it's like to not know if your cattle will live and if you'll have any money and if you'll be able to support a family. That's what it's going to be like here. I'll show you what it's like. And so by them experiencing it, they could put themselves in the shoes of the Israelites and realize what they did wrong. All right, that's where we'll end for today. Shkoyach.